93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Out Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Things are starting to get rather interesting again in the EFL Trophy.
Header from Harrison, and it's 2-0 to Pompey.
The Blues are just two wins away from a second consecutive appearance in the final of the competition they won last season. Wembley could once again be on the cards for Pompey. Between now and seven, we'll be hearing the thoughts of new boy Cameron McGeehan, who put pen to paper for a loan deal on Tuesday, as well as the manager Kenny Jackett. We've got so much to get through this evening, and as ever, we want you back home to get help us through it all. Do you think Pompey were right to let Anton Walkes leave the club? Who should start in goal for the Blues tomorrow afternoon? And does Haji Manocha deserve his place in the starting 11 for the visit of AFC Wimbledon? To get your thoughts heard over the next 60 minutes or so, you can either text the word EXPRESS to 81400 with your name and message attached afterward. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm. It's Friday evening, it's 6 o'clock, and you know what that means, Pompey fans. On 93.7 FM, DAB, digital radio, and online around the world at expressfm.com, a very good evening to you all, and welcome to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome along to the show, which tonight is once again set to be a busy one from start to finish. As ever, we are sat here courtesy of the good people over at Stagecoach Buses. If you're still in need of those January bargains, why not take advantage of the great offers Stagecoach have to offer? Download the app today on either the Apple app or Google Play Store to find your nearest stop and all the latest fares, prices too. Coming up between now and 7 o'clock, myself, Eric Colborn and Jeff Harris will be on hand with all the latest involving the magnificent club that is, of course, Portsmouth. We have all of the reaction from the midweek EFL Trophy tie at the Bescot Stadium, the most recent movements in the transfer window, and a little look ahead to the Blues' next game, which, of course, is at home to AFC Wimbledon tomorrow afternoon. But before we get down and dirty with any of that, let's kick off this Football Hour the way we know best, and that's by revisiting the past week at PO4. Kenny Jackett's side have been on the road an awful lot as of late. Last Saturday saw the first of two away days in the space of 4 days as Joey Barton's Fleetwood Town welcomed Pompey to Highbury Stadium for a 5:31 kickoff. Portsmouth, of course, running out 2-1 winners in that one to reach the fourth round of the competition. Commentary of Tuesday night's game at the Bescot Stadium comes via Ian Wilding and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey. Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey are just three wins away from Wembley again. And here it's the West Midlands for Portsmouth. It's Walsall away. And let's see if Pompey can build on that excellent win against Fleetwood in the FA Cup at the weekend with a win tonight. In the meantime, it's a corner for Pompey. Six in the box. It's aimed up towards the far post. It's Burgess who heads it down and it's tapped in. And it's Marquess with a final touch on the line. And Pompey take the lead here. Much to the delight of the Pompey fans to our right. It's Walsall 0, Portsmouth 1. Here is Norman on the right, curled in edge of the Portsmouth penalty area. Only half away from Downing, and it's picked up from Gaffney. He's fouled, is he? Yes, he is, a penalty. And Walsall have a penalty in stoppage time. And Adebayo steps up, and it's saved. Great save from McGilvery, who dived to his right-hand side. Keeps Walsall at bay. Corner in for Walsall. Into the penalty area. Headed on. And it could go anywhere. It's cleared off the line there. Inside the 6-yard box as Walsall headed on. Played back to Lavery, who tried to curl it. And it went wide of the post from the angle we're at. It looked like it was always sailing wide, and it was. Shipped in from Seddon. Header from Harrison. And it's 2-0 to Pompey. And That really should be it. Pompey heading through to the quarterfinal, surely, of the Leasing.com trophy. A goal in the first half, a goal in the second. Walsall 0, Portsmouth 2. Portsmouth's half, Lavery tries to feed it through. This is an opportunity. There's a push in the penalty area, and the penalty's given for a push on Holden, and it's the second Walsall penalty, which would set up a grandstand finish. Lavery hesitates, then steps up. This time he scores and sends McGilvery the wrong way. McGilvery went to his left. Walsall score. It's a grandstand finish coming up with 4.5 to play. It's Walsall 1, Portsmouth 2. And it's cleared up to the halfway line, and Pompey have done their job. They're through to the fourth round of the Leasing.com trophy into the quarterfinals. All of a sudden, Portsmouth are 2 wins from Wembley.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Those were the highlights of Pompey's 2-1 victory over Walsall in the EFL Trophy on Tuesday evening. Apologies to Guy Whittingham. I think I've renamed you Guy Commentary for the next few days or so. So if you're listening, Guy, I do apologise. It gives me great pleasure now to welcome in the two men who know the show inside out by now. And to be honest, they need no introduction, but I'm both going to get one anyway. First of all, he's seen everything, the good, the bad and the ugly, but his passion for Pompey burns on and on. And I think it's fair to say that all of his hard work in the community, with the supporters' trust and now with the Pompey women, has earned him somewhat of a legend status around these parts. Of course, I'm talking about the wonderful Eric Colborne. Eric, good evening. Welcome back. Great to have you back again.
Good evening, Jake. It's great to be back again.
Pleasure's mine, as it always is. And to his left-hand side, a man whose favourite time of the day used to be 5 o'clock before he first came onto a football hour. A man who walks around as something of a human calculator and also thinks he's quite funny on Twitter too. It's an honour to welcome back into the studio, Jeff Harris. Or should I say, that army bod.
Yeah, that's going to stick with me, isn't it?
It's your new nickname now. Gents, a 2-1 victory over Fleetwood on Saturday in the FA Cup. A fourth round tie at home to Barnsley. And of course, a 2-1 win over Walsall on Tuesday evening in the EFL Trophy, setting up a home tie against Scunthorpe in the quarterfinals of that competition. Jeff, it's been a great week, hasn't it?
It has. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about the signings later, but, you know, the two results in the Cups, I think the both next rounds are both winnable games, and it's something to look forward to and build that momentum that Kenny keeps talking about.
Yeah, and of course, for winning the FA Cup into the fourth round for a second season running, Eric, it's good, as Jeff mentioned there, to build these cup runs, to gain that momentum and confidence heading into the league season.
Oh, absolutely. I think it excites everybody. It excites the supporters and the players. It gives everybody that lift and that buzz, which is so important. And as I've said many times before, I think the FA Cup is the most fantastic competition, you know, going.
Pompey in the quarterfinals of the EFL Trophy, Jeff, the competition, of course, they won last season. They have the chance to retain it and become the first team ever to do so. And they stand just 2 wins away now from reaching the Wembley final for a second season running. Great to have that kind of accolade just kind of waiting and dangling above us right now, but it can only really breed confidence into the team. You know, people are saying, okay, it doesn't matter if we lose these games, we get knocked out, but I think now you've got to go on and win it.
I think we have. I think the position we are in the league at the moment, we've got an excellent opportunity to get in the playoffs. We're only one point off and you know, a few places behind, but as compared to last season when we were absolutely flying in the league and we got to the final and we actually said, well, was winning the final a sort of downgrade, not getting promoted? Whereas I think this season we're actually looking towards the final and also trying to get in that playoff spot as well. But you can guarantee social media will explode if we win the final and we get there and, you know, win it and we don't get promoted. You know what they're going to say, aren't you?
Yeah. Look at the EFL Trophy, Eric, and looking at the teams that really are left in the competition. In the semi-finals, of course, you've got Salford City, Scunthorpe, who Pompey will be playing, the quarter-finals, with Leicester under-21s, Accrington Stanley, Pompey, of course, Stevenage and Newport County and Exeter. Bar Pompey and Accrington, of course, Pompey are one of those teams, because we are Pompey. There's only one League One team left in the competition. It's really setting up to be a good pathway for the Blues to reach that final. I think we have a clear favourites now. We must be.
Yes, I would agree with you. I'm sure we are the favourites, but as we all know, cup competitions tend to not favour the favourites, and we'll you've got to take each game as it comes. I mean, Scunthorpe will come down here, nothing to lose, and think that, you know, that they can give us a shock. It's obviously important that we're on the ball on the night and you know, get through. So let's wait and see. I mean, take each game as it comes. I mean, it's just exciting to have all these games coming, you know, and you're looking at them thinking, we could be sat here at the end of the season having had an absolutely fantastic season. You know, that's the beauty at Portsmouth, isn't it? You never know what's going to happen.
And looking at the FA Cup fourth round draw, Jeff, not such a glamorous tie we're all hoping, Barnsley at home, but I think one positive to take from that is it's not away.
No, it's a home tie. I think it's a winnable tie. You know, Barnsley down the bottom of the Championship, but Barnsley are no slouches. You know, they are a good footballing side. Just results aren't going their way. And obviously, a lot has been said on social media about Colin Chapman coming back, and he'll be up for it as well. But it is another opportunity to win another game, get into the next round, maybe draw a Premier League team, whether that be at home or away, you know, ideally away, so you get more revenue from that way. And again, if it's on TV, more revenue comes into the club. So it's a win-win situation as far as I can see.
Speaking of Barnsley, let's take a moment now to hear from new boy Cameron McGeehan. The midfielder joined on loan from Barnsley on Tuesday, and I spoke to him yesterday at the training ground.
Yeah, I knew for a few weeks. I spoke to the manager a number of times. That was a big part of me coming here, getting that direct approach and just sort of speaking to the manager about, you know, the positives of the club and really sold it to me. So it was a big reason for me coming. Probably for about a few weeks. Yeah.
Did Connor Chaplin have somewhat of an kind of an influence in your move down south?
Yeah, definitely. Spoke to him a lot about it. He obviously loves the club, bigs it up a lot. Spoke to him about a lot of it. He was very complimentary of it, so it definitely helped.
Apparently you were subject to interest from Championship clubs as well. What made you pick Pompey?
It's just a massive club, obviously. If we can get promoted with Pompey, it's definitely one of the biggest teams in the country and stuff like that. So big attendance every week. It was, wanted to have feel that pressure of playing at the stadium every week. So it was a good decision in the end.
And assuming now it's time to leave the past in the past following the incident a few seasons ago, it's been 3 years now. How has your leg been since? No repercussions from that?
Yeah, no, it's solid now. It's fine. I've not had any problems with it ever since. So, just feel strong and ready to go, really.
You've been here a few days now. How have you found the first few training sessions?
It was my first session today, so it was good. It was tough. Good to get in with the lads and see what everyone's about and, just catch up with people. And you just see other clubs run and stuff, but yeah, it's really well run football club from top to bottom, and I can see that straight away as soon as I signed.
Yeah. And from what we've seen and heard, you're able to play in both the defensive and attacking areas of midfield. Do you have a preferred position, or are you happy to kind of chop and change as per the manager's decision?
Playing my way. I do try and do a bit of both anyway, so being a problem, so it'll be good. Adapt with the team, whatever the team needs. Yeah.
Are you looking forward to a competition within the squad? Can that actually help you to maybe improve your own game, having other players to try and better?
Yeah, definitely. Always try and learn off different players, and there's some good quality in the ranks here, especially in midfield. Got some good players and good competition, so exciting to sort of compete against these guys and obviously work with them as well.
Now, promotion is the aim for the Blues this season. How confident are you of that becoming a reality with the squad Kenny has at his disposal?
Definitely. It's got a lot of quality in there. Lots of good players, good teamwork and stuff like that. So they're very confident that, you know, we can put a good run together and get up.
And game time, I believe, somewhat limited at Barnsley for you this season. What have you been trying to do to keep fit and also in right frame of mind to continue pushing yourself?
I've done a lot of hard work over the last few weeks on my own. Sessions on your own when you're not sort of playing as much, and trying to keep as fit as I can. So I think I've bridged the gap and I'm fully fit and ready to go.
You have a chance this weekend to make your debut in front of the Fratton Park crowd as well. Are you looking forward to the occasion?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, can't wait to get out there and play in front of the fans and try and put a good performance in and try and get the win.
You must have had an added bit of eagerness to put on the blue shirt as well with some family connections down here.
Yeah. So my grandma, my mum from here, so grandma still lives here and stuff. So I've always kept an eye on Pompey and always been up and down from London coming to the area.
And finally, how important a role do you think the fans can play, not just at Pompey but any club really, in helping to get the best out of their team in a match situation?
Yeah, definitely. Gives you a big push, get that buzz going around the place. And it just gives you momentum and confidence throughout the team.
New boy Cameron McGeehan speaking to me at the training ground yesterday afternoon. And a signing there, Jeff, I don't think any Pompey fan really expected.
No, we were just talking off air then, weren't we, about, a host of championships clubs have come into him. And, fair play to Barnsley not wanting him to go to another championship club because it will affect their results. But what is their loss is our gain, I think. Whether he does sit in a more natural kind of central midfield slot or he plays as the attacking 10 is to be seen. But is he the player that can actually start to unlock John Marquis up front and play those through balls through that Marquis had at Doncaster, for example?
He's become a player as well from what we've seen in recent seasons, both playing for Barnsley and Luton, Eric, who likes to wind the opposition up. And I think we've got a good kind of squad of players now who can also kind of work alongside that. You're John Marquis and you're Ronan Curtis, certainly the characters within the squad who can really go at the opposition defences and really cause them trouble.
Yes, I think you're right, Jake. I think that there are certain players that teams don't like to play against, that's for sure. There's certainly been a few played against us over the years that have caused us enough problems. So, he's a welcome addition, a very welcome addition to the squad. And I think it's, I must admit, I'm quite excited by that, to sort of see how he fits in. And, I can see specifically we're fighting in three fronts here because we've got the leasing.com, we've got the FA Cup and we've got the league. We're fighting on three fronts, so we do need a good squad here.
And good to see as well, Jeff, that he's put the past in the past. He's forgiven Pompey fans, those out there who give him a bit of stick on Twitter about 3 years ago. I don't really know too much about that, but he's unblocked a few Pompey fans and he seems happy to be at the club, and he's got a few family connections as well, so it's good to see.
It is, and he's been in the press, local press, and he's been saying about the connection, his nan and everything else, how his granddad used to come, watch the games, although he was working for the police, and you got unblocked. So, all was good in the last 72 hours.
Okay, you've just heard the thoughts of Eric Colborne, Jeff Harris. Now it's time for you to get involved with the conversation back home. Text the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter @ExpressFM is what to include in your tweets. Within those, let us know your thoughts on the following questions. Did Pompey make the right decision to let Anton Walkes leave the club? Who would you like to see starting goal for the Blues tomorrow afternoon? And do you believe Hadji Minoga deserves to start for Pompey this weekend? Don't hesitate to include a score prediction as well. We'll save them for the end of tonight's show. We're off for a short break now, but don't go anywhere, as we've got plenty more still to come, including an interview with the manager, Kenny Jackett, right here on the only radio station to proudly to be passionately Pompey. You're listening to The Football Hour on Express FM.
This is The Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Express FM Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South, the cheapest and most reliable bus company serving the city of Portsmouth. Find out more information on all the services they provide by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. This evening, we are going over the 2-1 victory over Walsall on Tuesday night, Pompey's chances in this season's EFL Trophy, what's been happening on the transfer front, and of course, this weekend's visit of the Dons, the real Dons, to Fratton Park. As always, we'd love to hear your views and score predictions over the course of the show. Maybe you even have a question of your own you'd like to pose to the panel. To get in touch, text Express and your message to 81400, email pompey@expressfm.com, or you can send us a tweet @expressfm. We got one here from Twitter from Gav Jones, who says, where do you guys think Andy Cannon stands now with the signings of Fairchild and McGeehan? He was finding it hard enough to get a run in the side as it was. Does this knock him further down the pecking order? I hope not, as he does look to have great potential. Jeff Harris, what do you think on that one?
It's a tough one, but if you're going to start McGeehan as the 10, he goes alongside Naylor for me, because he'll bring a lot of energy, you know, tenacity to that central part of the play. But, you know, people are criticising Close, you know, rightly or wrongly, but Close can pick out a pass. So what do you want? Do you want an industrious, hard-working, you know, going to win the ball back and then set that attacking 4-3-4 off? It's 6-1, half dozen the other at the end of the day. But there's an argument for Close and Callan starting alongside Naylor, I feel.
Yeah. Transfer that happened just yesterday, Eric, was Anton Walkes. He left the club to sign for Atlanta United, who, of course, he previously played for a few seasons ago before joining Pompey. What do you make of that one? I think that one came really out of the blue, didn't it?
Yes. I think it's fair to say... most supporters, I think, would agree he's had a mixed season, Anton. And I'm one of these sort of people that believes that if a player, you know, wants to go, or is it in his back of his mind that he's going to go, you're better to say thanks very much, you know, and let him go. I don't think you do anybody any favours trying to hold on to a player that...
just unsettles the squad, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it unsettles the squad. I think the player never plays to his potential. Not deliberately. It's just a fact that that's the way it tends to go. And, no, it's... you know, we obviously, everyone wishes him well. And it is a shame, because I think that when we signed him, we had high hopes for him.
Yeah.
Let's hope he you know, has a good career in America.
22 years of age still, Jeff, and certainly showed signs of potential in flashes for Pompey. Not a player who, as Eric said, was consistently in the squad week in, week out, but it is a shame to see him go, because he certainly had the capabilities of at least this season being a squad player and helping out in various different roles.
Yeah, I think this season was really his season to take that right back position and call it his own. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. You know, McCrory's played there, Burgess has played there, Harnstrop's played there, Bolton's played there. You know, we've had a myriad of players playing that position. And if you're really going to take your opportunity and seize the opportunity, it was this season. And, you know, in the last few games playing left back, he's shown his ability, he's shown what he can do. But has he been unsettled at the beginning of the season? Is it that mental resilience, that mental robustness that actually thinks, well, actually, I am a good right back, and has he not been shown any faith? We don't know. We're just surmising on that. But if his family's over there, if he's got a young family over there as well, and he's been offered an excellent chance in a lifetime, then why would you stand in his way? Especially if we get some feedback for him as well. So good luck to him, and well done.
Yeah. As far as transfers are concerned as well, Eric, Rico Hackett-Fairchild joined the club earlier this week as well from Bromley, a record fee for the non-league side as well. Looks to be one for the future, that one, but certainly on Tuesday night against Walsall in the EFL Trophy, showed signs of what he can do.
Yes, again, this is... you don't want to tempt fate, but you do look at it and think, oh, you know, could this be another Jamel Lowe situation, you know, where we get a player and really develop them on. Let's hope so. He's certainly an exciting player. I've heard some very good things about him, from Bromley. And yes, he looks like he's one for the future. Let's not get carried away, because you don't want to pile weight on his shoulders when he turns up. You know, if he can obviously get time in the first team, that's brilliant. But as I say, you've got to remember, with all these players, we are fighting on three fronts, and everyone's going to get a chance, I'm sure, to show what they can do.
Yeah.
And it's going to be exciting, especially with a new, you know, player that you obviously know very little about, who's, I'm sure, very, very keen to show everybody exactly what he can do.
Yeah. And of course, we know what kind of gems you can pick up from non-league as well. Jeff, I think Pompey have received quite a bit of stick this week for apparently not showing a kind of the right ambition in terms of signing players when it comes to Rico Hackett-Fairchild. But you've only got to look at Jamel Lowe and say, well, it doesn't matter where you come from. If you're a good enough player, you're a good enough player, no matter how much money is involved. It's a good signing.
Yeah, I think...
Or it's got the potential to be a good signing.
Definitely, yeah. You know, he's got the potential there, and it was stated they were signing him for one for the future.
Yeah.
Yes, the club have come out and said, we want to buy first-team players that are going to come in and make an impact in January. You know, we know about the previous January windows, and they want to get those first-team players, those ones that are going to come in and make an impact. And that's what people have in their minds. Mm. And then when the club come out and say, yes, we've made... They actually said it in the article. Yes, we made this statement, we want to buy first-team players, but he is one for the future. Yeah. And people just, for whatever reason, want to admit that, you know, that little paragraph that's in the article, and they go off on a tangent and they go, no, we're meant to be buying first-team players. Where's the ambition? Yeah. Where's the investment? And everything else. Well, actually, if you spend a little now, the investment in next season or the tail end of the season, he may come out and actually be that rough diamond that no one knows about, and he gets thrown on. You know, we could be losing the game 1-0. We need a point to get into the playoffs on the last game of the season, and no one knows anything about him, and he comes on and he sets up a winner or he scores one.
In all honesty as well, I don't want to keep referring back to Jamal Lowe, Eric, but I think he scored one or two goals previous to this game. But the Notts County game, Jamal Lowe scored a brace, and those were the goals, as Jeff mentioned there, to send Pompey up. Previously, I think, you know, he made the odd appearance and, you know, had a few very decent games. But before then, I don't think anyone at the start of that season knew that he'd be the one to kind of determine where Pompey ended up at the end of the campaign.
No, I mean, as I see it, and you know, I think what's going on is that Kenny's signing players to go into the first team, yes.
Yeah.
Or he's signing players that he thinks have potential going forward, you know, young players that have the potential to get into the first team. And I think that's the right way about it. The trouble is, if you buy solely players, I think what we try not to do is buy players just to go into the squad, you know, seasoned professional, you know, he'll come in and do a job sort of type player. I think that's what we're not trying to do. I think we're trying to buy, get players in that he thinks are going to make an impact.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them all right. No one ever does. But, you know, you do get those one or two coming out that can be exceptionally good players. Yeah. And look at the... You've only got to look around the players that started in non-league who now are playing, you know... I mean, everyone says, oh, Vardy at Leicester, but there's lots of them around, isn't there?
It used to be you went in non-league and that was the end of your career. Now, these young players are stepping into non-league to see it as a springboard back into the league, and, you know, and rightly so.
I think, as Eric mentioned there as well, Jeff, you can't be, you know, you can't just buy six or seven, you know, dead certain starters to play for Pompey in the January transfer window, because it just unsettles the entire rest of the squad then, doesn't it? You've got to kind of, you got to mix up a bit and have a few, you know, for the future, and a couple, maybe one or two on loan, and then a few kind of core signings to kind of mix up a bit and just ensure that the entire rest of the squad know that there's a competition for places, rather than, okay, you're being replaced, you're being replaced, you're being replaced.
Yeah, you still need to have that consistency and cohesion in the squad. Mm. You know, yes, we all know we need a centre-half.
Yeah.
Are you going to go out and buy two or three new defenders and then put them in as a back four unit? You're not going to do that.
No.
You're going to try and get a consistent unit at the back, you know, consistent keeper. And then, but it's the hardest part. We all know we need a centre-half, but what team in the right mind in League One or the top end of League Two, especially if they're chasing promotion, is going to sell their best centre-half.
Hmm.
They're not. So you've got to take a gamble or get a more older, experienced centre-half to come in to do a job. Or actually, you're going to have to fork out and pay the money that is asked for top League Two team, mid-table, League One to where we are in League One.
A few comments on the Anton Walk situation on Facebook. Ben Nicholas says he came here wanting to play in a central midfield position when interviewed. He's mainly played right back, second fiddle to Nathan Thompson the last couple of seasons, and McCrory this campaign. He was then shifted as a left back due to injuries. Seddon comes in and he plays midfield. All three positions got grief and he never had a settled run of games. Very hard to get form going when in and out of a team. Now he gets to go back to the USA with his American partner and get appreciation. Not as high level as League One, and I'd still probably say higher wage and better facilities than what we have, but good luck to him. We just need to replace those members leaving with decent quality. Where are we? Martin Kerr says, yes, Pompey made the right decision to let him leave the club. And Will Fisk says, right to sell him as the reasons he had were proper human reasons, which you can't turn down. I do think we've sold him just as he was really about to take off, though. though the rumoured fee may go some way to solving that. And one more from Ryan O'Sullivan says, why did he leave? He should have left his partner to stay with us. I think that's rather, I think rather bold statement to leave your partner to play for Pompey. But yeah, each to their own. Let's hear now from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who I spoke to at yesterday's pre-match press conference.
Yeah, hopefully winning breeds winning. It's a good habit to get into and gives people confidence. So, you know, the winning the cup games is a good thing, as you say, progressing those competitions. But undoubtedly, our priority is the league. You know, Wimbledon is a really big game on Saturday. We have to be ready for it. We'll have to be at our best. We want to set that bar as high as we possibly can in terms of performances to try to win the game.
And of course, it's been a busy week as far as transfers are concerned. Three strong additions to a squad since the window opened. How important was it to get some business done early on?
I think that they've given us a compliment to the squad as well. I didn't think we had the most natural midfield players in terms of numbers in the group, and McGeehan helps us with that. We've lacked left-footers. Hackett and Seddon coming in help us down the left-hand side as well. So, you know, for us, they do add and supplement and complement the squad that we've already got, and you know, we've needed that.
Steve Seddon made his debut at Fleetwood and featured also at Walsall on Tuesday night. What have you made of his start to life at the club so far?
Yeah, he's made a really good start, and you know, two wins obviously helps your confidence coming into a team that, you know, hard-earned wins, both of them as well, tough games. And he's made a bright start, both in terms of his football and his personality, and so far fitted him well. Be interesting now on Saturday, you know, playing against one of his former clubs, a club that he did well in his loan spell last season.
Of course, a player who naturally slots in at left back. How healthy could this signing prove to be for both Lee Brown and Brandon Helstrup to have that competition for a spot in the starting 11 once they return from their injuries? Can only really act as a platform to spur them on to become better players.
Yeah, that is it. But also, you know, both are coming back from operations, and you know, for Brandon, it's a, you know, cartilage operation. For Lee, it's an Achilles problem. So it's not easy, and there's nothing sort of cast in stone that you get back, or you get back to full fitness, or you get back to top form. It's quite difficult. So, you know, for us, we couldn't take that risk, and we couldn't wait, you know, for that to happen. If in the end all three are fit and available, that would be good, because, you know, we have left-sided issues definitely this season with both of those guys being out. It's been a problem position for us. And I also do feel that with the right tactical setup, you know, Steve Seddon's capable of just playing one further forward as well, should we need it. So, you know, throughout a key second half of the season, yes, some competition, yes, some cover, but we hope a compliment as well to the players that we have.
And Rico Hackett-Fairchild made his debut in midweek, a solid one of that too. Is he a player who brings versatility to the squad?
Yeah, I see him as a forward player, definitely. He's a forward-thinking player. He can play any of the three behind the striker. That's been his strength so far, and where he fits in for us.
And moving on to Cameron McGeehan now, your third signing of the month. Was having that extra option in the central midfield region something of a priority heading into the transfer window?
It is an area I did want to strengthen. You know, we've been sort of reliant on certain lads and not much cover or competition there. So, you know, with a vital second half of the season and quite a potentially long one, and the fact that we're still in three competitions, we did want to strengthen that. For Cameron anyway, I'm bringing a player that obviously the Portsmouth fans will know, playing against him in League 2 when he was at Luton, and where he was in a very good Barnsley side that got promoted last year as well. At 24, I think he's just coming into his best years and his best time, and delighted to bring him in and help the club.
The gaffer there, Kenny Jackett, speaking ahead of tomorrow's game at home to AFC Wimbledon. And that's only the half of it. You can hear the rest of that interview and, of course, the earlier one with Cameron McGeehan when Pompey Live returns from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Let's talk about Steve Seddon now, Jeff Harris, a player who's come into the club on loan from Birmingham City in the Championship, 22 years of age, certainly one for the future up at St Andrews, but he's at Pompey until the end of the campaign. And in the two games he's played so far, again, has proved worthwhile.
Definitely. You know, you look at the delivery on his left foot, he's come straight in, he's taking corners, he's taking free kicks, he wants to get forward. I mean, against Fleetwood, I wondered who was playing in the centre-forward position, and I actually realised it was Seddon, had run from left-back, played a couple of 1-2s, next minute, he's up front. You know, he's got that on what I've seen so far, he's got that vision to get forward and join the attacks and want to join the attacks. Mm. That's the difference. You know, any player can run up and down the field. You've got to have that desire and energy to get into the box and make that effect.
And of course, set pieces has been something of a sticking point this season for Pompey, Eric. Over the last two games, four goals against both Fleetwood and Walsall, three of them coming from corners.
Yes, that's
all via Steve Seddon. Gareth Evans was one of them, but Steve Seddon has certainly made an impact into how Pompey have been improving with their set pieces.
Yeah, Seddon and Evans were the two, I think, at Fleetwood, weren't they? And Seddon at Walsall.
Yeah.
So yes. Yes, that's great, because let's be fair about it, we needed to improve our goal scoring from set pieces and specifically corners, I think. It's very encouraging, I must admit, to get three goals like that in two games. I must say, very difficult places. I mean, Fleetwood in particular, you know, is on paper looked a very, very difficult fixture. Yeah, you know, I was looking at all the pundits. No one was suggesting we were going to win at Fleetwood, and certainly the bookmakers didn't think we were going to win up there. So, I thought that was a good performance. I thought he was targeted at Fleetwood specifically in the beginning of the second half. I think Fleetwood thought that they may be able to expose us on that left side because he'd only just come in our first game, all this sort of thing. And I thought he was. Really, really good. I thought he handled himself very, very well. And, you know, as you say, Jeff, he's got that something about him getting forward, you know, which I like. I really do like. I like that business. I like to see players that can, you know, get forward and look like they're, you know, as you say, they want to be there, that, you know, and they've got that desire to get in there. It's really nice to see.
Okay, it's time now for our second and final break of tonight's show. So this is possibly your last chance to get in touch if you want your thoughts to be heard before we leave you in around 20 minutes' time. To get involved, simply text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email us, Pompey at ExpressFM, is how to do that. And of course, there's Twitter. Be sure to include at ExpressFM in your tweets. Who starts in goal for Pompey when they take on Wimbledon tomorrow afternoon? And do you think Haji Minoga deserves a place in the starting lineup? Will it be three wins on the bounce for the Blues when they welcome AFC Wimbledon to PO4, or will the Dons complete the double over Pompey? Be sure to include your score predictions within your text tweets and emails too. Join myself, Eric and Jeff very shortly as we move the conversation along to preview this weekend's return to league football, as well as an insight into the latest developments from the PMC Stadium, the home of the Pompey Women. The conclusion of the Friday Football Hour is coming up next here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Stagecoach Across the South are the sponsors of the show throughout this football season. Be sure to check them out and try out one of their many routes across Portsmouth or even beyond if you live further afield. You're guaranteed a speedy, reliable and friendly service every time. This is the final part of the show, and it's around the time we usually start to look ahead to the Blues' next match, and we begin the preview of tomorrow afternoon's league match at Fratton by taking a closer look at this weekend's opponents, AFC Wimbledon.
Following on from a week of cup action on the road for the Blues at both Fleetwood Town and Walsall, we finally return home to Fratton Park, where Pompey's maiden game on home turf for the new year sees the League One visit of AFC Wimbledon to the South Coast.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Wombles, also known as the Dons, make the short journey down from South London this weekend in what is match day 24 in the third tier for Kenny Jackett's side. The last time these two sides met, the Blues fell short to a late sucker punch as Wimbledon claimed all 3 points at King's Meadow, where Thomas Terrell's 93rd minute strike back in October earned the Dons a victory, which in turn piled massive pressure on Pompey boss Kenny Jackett, whose side slumped to 18th place as a result.
Manager.
56-year-old Glyn Hodges is the manager of AFC Wimbledon. The former Crazy Gang midfielder, who also went on to play for the likes of Watford, Crystal Palace and Sheffield United, linked back up with the club in December 2018 after 32 years away. Hodges initially returned as manager Wally Down's assistant and took over management of the first team on a temporary basis on the 25th of September, due to the suspension of Downs in relation to a betting misconduct charge sectioned by the FA.
One to watch.
Keep an eye out this weekend for number 39, Joe Piggott. The 26-year-old striker may have only registered 5 goals to his name over 28 games in all competitions this season, but he is technically the side's second leading goalscorer in League One with a measly 3 to his name. Now, 3 goals in over 1,800 minutes of league football is hardly a record to shout about as a striker, but his name does carry some weight about it. Wimbledon is already his 9th different club since turning pro just 8 years ago. Somewhat of a journeyman, that Piggott bloke.
Top scorer.
20-year-old striker Marcus Force is Wimbledon's top scorer in the league with 11 goals to his name. The forward, who is on loan from Championship outfit Brentford, was born in Finland and, well, certainly knows how to finish. It's fair to say Force knows where the back of the net is. His 11 successful strikes thus far have come following just 17 appearances.
Current form.
Wimbledon are currently 19th in the League One standings and are only being kept out of the relegation spots due to Bury's explosion from the league, Bolton's 12-point deduction at the start of the campaign, and of course the horror show that has happening at Southend United this season. The Dons exited the Carabao Cup in the first round, finished third in their EFL trophy group above only Southend on goal difference, and were dumped out of the FA Cup after a first round replay with Doncaster Rovers. Over the last 5 games, Glyn Hodges' side have won 2, lost 2 and drawn 1, with their most recent outing a 1-1 draw at home to Southend United on New Year's Day. So, can the Blues get their revenge on the Wombles and in doing so make it 3 wins from 3? Find out and catch all of the unmissable action as it unfolds on Pompey Live.
There we have it, Ben. All you need to know about AFC Wimbledon, who make the short journey down from South London for match day 24 in Sky Bet League One this weekend. Callum Ashworth from Twitter says, unpopular opinion, on Saturday Walks go. He's recently put in a shift and has been a good squad rotation player. Into which Dave Lauren replies, in some ways was becoming like an old-fashioned utility player, able to tick off many roles. With him gone and McCrory injured, who would replace Naylor, Bolton or Seddon if they got injured? Says Dave on Twitter. We've got a few more coming in. One on the emails from Graham Wilkins. Evening, lads. I'd like to see McGilvery back in goal, although I think Bass is a good keeper too. Letting Watts go was all right, as it's best for him and his family-wise. At the end of the day, that's how it goes. A good player on his day, but good luck to him on his future. I think Bolton should start tomorrow, but Manoga was great on Tuesday and should be on the bench at least on Saturday. Good to see Pittman wanting to stay at the club and fight for his place. Interesting signing so far, and looking forward to seeing them in a blue shirt. Going for a 2-1 win tomorrow, as this seems to be the score of late, so why change things? Says Graham on the emails, trying to get a few more as well. Ross on Twitter says yes, I'm happy he wasn't good enough for Pompey. Wes Critchett says, so long as we get another right back in. And speaking of the kind of rest of the transfer season then, Jeff, we've got this left back in. We've got one for the future, Rico Hackett-Fairchild. We've got a player in Cameron McGeehan who can really switch in the roles of central defensive midfield and kind of the number 10 role as well. Is it fair to say that now all we need really is a solid centre-back?
Yeah. I think, you know, the person there just said about needing another right-back. I think with Minoga coming into the Walsall game like he did, I'd like to see him maybe used a bit more as a backup. Yes, we know, you know, people going about Evans could play there, and Bolton's got the shirt at the moment. Hunstrop's come back early from injury, I believe. You know, so like I said earlier, yes, we know we need a centre back, but no team chasing promotion from League 2 to League 1 is going to sell their best centre back, and no team in League 1 mid-table to the top is going to send their best centre back. So yes, we know we need one, but where do you go and get one from? You've got to take a gamble on a Championship or Premier League youngster, or, you know, you've got to fork out the money.
Yeah. Andy Mitchell-Moore says he's put in a few solid games versus Anton Walkes together playing in that left-back role, but has been inconsistent enough over his time here. I don't think he's a player to get us promoted to Championship. Too many individual mistakes there. If Championship is the goal, then I'm fine with him leaving. That relies us on actually signing an improvement as a replacement, though. Prediction for tomorrow is 3-0. Ever the optimist, says Andy on Facebook. And back to Haji Minoga. Ben Nicholas says, he's like all of our academy players. If they're good enough, they should get a chance. We've not got a bad record regarding our academy. Watmore, Hounstrup and Close all have had the chance. Why should Haji be any different? The fans will be excited about it too. Speaking of, again, transfers, Ben, Eric, and I think maybe we could see one or two players leaving the club over the next week or so before we get any more in.
Yeah, I would imagine that possibly might be the case, Jake. it's difficult to say. Kenny will obviously have his targets and know who he's prepared to let go. So it is a wait and see scenario, and it's easy to sort of say, oh, we want a specific type of player, but as Jeff says, trying to find that player, sometimes, you know, the targets you want just aren't available and you can't get them. And you draw a blank. I'm very pleased, I must say. I think three in so far has been exceptional. I mean, there are three players that you think, these are good players. I know one's for the future, but the two lads, obviously, that we assume will be fighting for first team places immediately, certainly, do look exciting prospects. Yeah. And let's see what else happens as the month goes on.
And speaking of departures, Jeff, our good friends at the News are reporting that Paul Downing could be close to leaving Pompey. Kenny Jackett says the door is open for him to go. And are we really surprised about that one? Not really had the chance to gather momentum and have that string of games, maybe due to the performances that he has shown.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Obviously, Kenny fought enough of him to bring him in and give him a 3-year deal. You know, on the basis of that, you'd think they've done their research, their homework, and say, he had a good season at Doncaster. Let's not beat around the bush.
This is the thing, the kind of questioning the recruitment. You look at Sean Raggett and Paul Downing, players who have come under a lot of fire recently due to how maybe they're showing on the pitch, but you look at their history and their background. Sean Raggett, a player who highly rated at Lincoln, signed for Norwich, okay, not really given a chance in the Championship, but certainly worthy of potential. Paul Downing, you mentioned there, was a target for Kenny last season, had a good season at Doncaster, but I don't think anyone could have really complained about that one, so it is strange to see.
I said last time I was on air, I think it's how the players react to 18,500 fans getting on their back. You know, and we know Fratton Park could be a bear pit, but when the fans turn on our own players, for whatever reason, you know, it goes back to that mental resilience and how their mindset is. You know, because the next time they make a mistake, the crowd on the back. Look at what used to happen to Burgess. Burgess used to get vilified every time he made a mistake. Yeah, that game he came on last season, and we were 1-0 up, and the ball bounces, it goes over him. Yeah. We're drawing, and we go on to whatever, you know. But Burgess has learned from that. He's got that resilience. He's gone, do you know what? It's not going to happen again. I'll go out, and he keeps on doing the things he's good at.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the difference between maybe Downing and Burgess. That Downing, he's making a mistake, and it's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
But someone's going to have to take him. You know, if we want to bring a centre-back in, someone's going to have to take Downing. And on current form, is there anyone out there who's going to take him?
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. It's certainly going to be an interesting one when it develops. A few polls on Twitter ran throughout the day asking if you're happy about the Anton Walkes departure from Fratton Park. 27% are happy, 17% unhappy, 56% not bothered by it, apparently, according to you lot on Twitter. In regards to Hadji Minoga, 57% of you think he should start on the bench, 40% are saying you'd name him in your starting 11, and only 3% of you think that he should not be included in Matchday 18 at all. Quickly on the email, Stephen Jerome says, good evening. I think Hadji Minoga should be given a start against Wimbledon. It was great to see him sign his professional contract for Pompey, and I think he should give the lad a run in the team now and see what he can do. We've had many great youngsters coming up from the academy into the first team in recent years. I think Minoga will be a great player if he is given a chance. Thank you to Steve and Fratton. And we've got one more here from Dave, who says, Minoga on the bench. James Bolton has got better and needs games to improve his abilities even further. OK, let's move on now to the Pompey women. Jay Sadler's side were in FA Cup action last time out, and Ian Chiverton has the latest on how they got on, as well as a preview of their next match.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton, and welcome to the Pompey Women Update. Pompey women kicked off the year with a tricky away tie to inform Ipswich Town in the FA Cup. Pompey started the game well as they tried to put Ipswich under pressure. As the half went on, Ipswich came more into the game. Pompey couldn't get their usual passing game going and struggled to create any clear openings. It was Ipswich who took the lead before half-time when a free kick from out wide was played into the box. It crept past all the players and straight into the far corner. Shortly after, Pompey had a chance to equalise when Charmaine True intercepted a clearance. However, her effort from 20 yards did beat the Ipswich keeper, but rattled off the bar and bounced clear. In the second half, Ipswich defended very well, reducing Pompey to half chances. The game finished 1-0, sending Pompey out of the FA Cup. It was an uncharacteristic poor performance from Sadler's team. They've set the bar so high this season, and this performance simply didn't meet that level. They're going to be looking to put that right this Sunday when they travel to league leaders Watford. This is unquestionably the toughest fixture in the league calendar. Pompey have played Watford twice already this season, losing 2-0 on the opening day at Baffins, but actually beating Watford a few weeks later in the cup. There are some big matches for Pompey in the coming weeks. They have a Hampshire Cup semi-final at home to Winchester on the 16th of January, and a League Cup quarter-final at home to South Coast rival Southampton in early February. As always, you can see all the goals, highlights and interviews from all Pompey's games on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Big thank you to Ian Chiverton there with an update on the Pompey women. Let's get a few more score predictions now. Anthony Lee says 3-1 Pompey. David Swinford says 3-0 Pompey. We've got a poll here on Twitter throughout the day in regards to whether you think Pompey will win, Wimbledon win or draw. 94% of you are going for a Pompey win. Only 3% reckon AFC Wimbledon win. Thank you for all of you for getting involved. Those are the prediction of those back home. Let's quickly now throw it over to Eric Colborn. Pompey versus Wimbledon, what are you going for?
I'm positive. I think we've got to be careful in this game because it's another one of those banana skins. I'm confident. I'm going to go for a 2-0.
2-0 says Eric. Quickly, Jeff, what are you going
2-0.
For? 2-0, both of you. Interesting, that one. Personally, I think the Blues in for a tough test, much like the reverse fixture, but I do think they'll edge it. I agree with one of them that we heard earlier on, 2-1 to Pompey. I think we'll carry on that run of 2-1 wins. And that's all we've got time for tonight. Eric Holborn, Jeff Harris, thank you both ever so much for joining me on the show tonight. I wish you both a safe journey home and enjoy the game tomorrow too as well. Big thanks to all of you who got involved via the text, tweets and emails this evening, as well as those for just simply tuning in to the Football Hour week in, week out. Finally, thanks to my sponsors, Stagecoach Across the South, for supporting the show this season. Right then, you're in for a real treat tonight, because on the way next, we've got a non-stop hour of nothing but great music until 8 o'clock. Gloria Miller then takes over between 8 and 10 for 2 hours of music for the soul, the perfect way to cool down after a stressful week at work and to ease you nicely into the weekend. And then we ramp things up a bit from 10 p.m. A cool blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music sees you through till midnight as Hip Shaker returns here on Express FM from 10 o'clock. That's it from me this evening. I'll be back tomorrow to help see over another Pompey match day. It's the Blues' first match of the year on home soil. Can they overcome AFC Wimbledon and exact their revenge on the side who beat them earlier this season? Find out and catch all of the unmissable action as it unfolds right here on Express FM and iFollow Pompey from 2 p.m. Myself, Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight will have you covered for this weekend's live footballing fix here on Express FM and, of course, iFollow Pompey if you're listening overseas. But until then, I hope you have a great rest of your evening, have a wonderful weekend, and until tomorrow afternoon, good night and play out Pompey.